about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Now we've come this evening to bring you some joy, some happiness, inspiration, and some positive vibrations.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I love America. I really do, because every time I come here, I feel so welcomed and safe. It's true, you guys, you really know how to treat white people.
Kevin and me, they have a great show on K-Rock in Los Angeles, don't you know?
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
I'm now.
Excuse me, sit down. You weren't called. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. You haven't been called. Go back to Univision.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 11th of September. How you doing?
How are you doing, Kevin?
Very well, thank you.
Good. How's the weekend?
The weekend's good. Busy, good. But good, you know.
Yeah?
You stay busy. You got a lot of sports to watch now, finally.
Yes, almost too much.
Football, so good.
Football is good.
So good to have back.
How'd your team do?
My team being the Arizona Cardinals?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think we lost by about 25 points, and I think they gave us like a couple of touchdowns at the end just because they felt bad for us.
To a great team, though.
Well, I mean, it was the Lions. It was the Detroit Lions.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're tied with my team.
Right.
Okay, good.
We both have the same record.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly.
It was a rough day yesterday. Absolutely. I get it.
But it was a fun day to have football back. That's
for
good.
Sure.
Yeah. I want to start today in Florida.
Oh, no.
Because Florida, it's just so Florida-y.
It is.
You know?
Yeah, they can't help it.
All of the wacky stories that we find somehow always come out of Florida.
And we don't look for them. They just present themselves.
I mean, we look for crazy, wacky stories, but we don't look in Florida. You just look, and then you see a headline that's spectacular, and then you go, that sounds awesome. And then first thing, Florida.
Sure.
That's where it comes from. Almost, I mean, what would you guess? 90%?
Absolutely.
So Florida has Hurricane Irma.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that was mentioned was the fans. Remember that?
Yeah.
If you point your fan out toward, if everyone pointed their fan out toward the hurricane, it would push it away and then it would miss Florida.
Right.
So that was the first thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing that happened,
I found the tweet.
Please.
From the Pasco Sheriff's Office. They tweeted this on Saturday. To clarify, do not shoot weapons at Irma. You won't make it turn around, and it will have very dangerous side effects. I'm sorry. They mean, like, guns?
Yes. Some dude that was bored and was just trying to be funny said everybody in Florida should take their guns and they should shoot at Irma.
Oh.
And then that will cause it to go off to the side. Now, that guy has always existed. Here's what's different. He has the internet, and a lot of people look at that and go, what's the downside? May work. So they go get their gun and they load it.
Oh, no.
Right.
Oh, no.
So now the sheriff has to come out and put a tweet out. Now, there's been a lot of unfortunate devastation from these hurricanes. Mm-hmm. And you don't see these stories coming out of any other place that's been hit.
No.
Ever.
Texas wasn't shooting guns at Harvey.
And that was horrific.
That was a bad, bad hurricane.
But you don't get that kind of reaction anywhere else but Florida.
I woke up to a tweet from my friend Amber Tozer. She has moved to England, married a lovely London gent. And she tweeted, English husband, how's it going in America? Me, people are shooting the weather. I mean, how embarrassing for us.
It's just, it really boggles the mind. And we've asked many, many times, why Florida? Why is Florida this way? Honestly, I can't figure it out. I don't know if it's where a lot of drugs come in.
Maybe.
And they have to take all of them before they... I don't know, but it is so bizarre that this kind of thing comes out of Florida. And pretty much nowhere else.
Yeah. Maybe it's all the people that live along the East Coast that get so sick of winters that they all kind of migrate south. So they're all kind of looped from all the bad winters.
Okay.
That they get down there and they're just crazy. And they're like, ooh, sun. And
so then it used to be cold. And then so now they move to Florida and they hear shoot guns at a hurricane. And they go, yeah, let's get locked and loaded.
Why not? Listen, I'm trying to think.
Because it's a terrible idea.
I haven't, like, totally flushed it through.
I was trying. Do you flush it through?
I don't think you do.
I think you try to flush it out.
I would flush it. I should actually flush that one right through. Take two.
I was trying to figure out over the weekend. I was really, like, trying to think, is it really a majority of these stories? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And why does the sheriff in Florida have to come out and say, don't shoot weapons at a hurricane?
Yeah. What was his day like when he's like, I guess I better take to Twitter now?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That's bad.
Because you know that it's gotten to a stage where more people are shooting weapons at the hurricane than he's comfortable with. At one point, I saw in a statement, it said, bullets come back down. He actually spelled that out.
Right.
So that the people of Florida realize that the bullets don't just keep going.
Right.
That they actually then, because of gravity, come back to Earth.
Okay.
So he was having to make that distinction.
Yeah. Teaching me right now.
Right?
Yeah.
You didn't know that either?
Uh-uh.
All right. So, Florida.
Florida.
Right?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
That sounds unnecessary.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we? We have Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone, which was free yesterday. I hope everybody watched it.
Was it really?
Yeah. It was a preview.
Oh. Yes.
You guys didn't know that?
Well, not for us, because we don't know those things.
Oh. Yeah, it was a free preview to get people hooked so that they'd start paying.
Wow.
I thought you'd
Chip and I don't have the cool channels.
That's where they watch all of the NFL games, and he just moves from one game to the next.
Yeah, it sounds like a great thing to have.
Oh, it's real good. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, because you don't miss anything good.
Right. That's the point of the show.
So if anybody gets into the red zone, they're on the 20-yard line or closer, then they cut to that game.
Oh,
and you can watch all of the games at once.
Huh.
And it was free.
What if I just want to watch a show that's on Fox or CBS? What about that?
Those shows are highlighted on that as
no,
well.
No, I mean, that's all I have.
Oh.
Yeah.
You?
Me too.
Yeah, Time Warner.
Wow. You guys need to get a new cable company, am I right?
I have Sunday Ticket on my computer that I can watch through my Apple TV, if you must know.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
At least she's making it work.
Thank you.
Chip?
Come on, Chip. Get it together. You can come over, Chip.
Oh, Chip, Dolphins. That's all you need to know.
It's true.
We talked about Florida for the last 10 minutes.
You didn't lose this week.
Dolphins.
You did not lose this week. You didn't play,
undefeated.
But you didn't lose. Undefeated.
Chip's team, the game was put off, so she didn't lose. So her team, the Dolphins, is technically higher than my Cardinals or your Patriots.
Fuck it.
It's fine.
Yeah. We're going to have you call in if you wrecked someone's bathroom. And what was your reaction? Because mine was odd.
Yeah.
I ran.
Literally ran.
From Bean's house.
From a party.
Yes.
Good Lord.
I mean, why?
Kevin.
Yeah. Harvey Levin from TMZ. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to you today like we do on Mondays. So listen to this all week long. You can listen to K-Rock to win tickets to see the show of your choice. You got Imagine Dragons at the Hollywood Bowl. You got Kings of Leon at the Hollywood Bowl. You have Arcade Fire at the Forum. And you have the Killers at Staples Center.
Okay.
So we're going to be giving away those tickets all week long. And I don't know if you've heard this yet or not, but K-Rock presents Prophets of Rage in the HD radio sound space at K-Rock.
What?
Yep.
For real?
Yes. They're going to be playing here at the building.
For like 100 people.
Yes.
That's amazing.
September 21st. If you'd like your chance to win tickets, that's coming up today as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the show. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. Harvey Levin is coming up about a half hour from now.
Harvey Levin!
That's the voice of Ralph Garman for our first look at the show.
The voice of Jerry Lewis. Come on, man. You can't tell the difference between me and Jerry Lewis?
A lot of people can't.
That's true. I know one dude. We got confused.
Not that we could talk about it, but
I can tell it's you by your voice. It's a Monday morning. Let me give you something to make the week a little bit more palatable. Nothing worse than waking up on a Monday morning, having to go to work or school, and being up while it's still dark outside blows. So I'm going to give you a little something, make it a little bit easier for you, a little laughter, in the form of the Trailer Park Boys. If you know these guys, if you watch this hilarious Canadian show, oh, it's one of my favorites, Julian and Bubbles and Randy. Mr. Leahy will all be on hand at the Orpheum Theater December 5th. So it's a little ways from now, but it's appropriate because the show is called The Trailer Park Boys, Dear Santa, Go F Yourself.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that'll be at the Orpheum Theater on December 5th. If you'd like to go, here's what you get. A pair of tickets to see the tour on December 5th. And we'd love to have you enjoy yourself. So why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers at that number will get a pair of tickets for Trailer Park Boys, Dear Santa, Go F Yourself at the Orpheum Theater, which is a great place to see a show, by the way. All right, it's Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. This was a surprise. I mean, they thought it'd be number one, but no one thought that Stephen King's thriller It would make $118 million.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
No one expected that.
I assumed it would, like, a good opening is 40, right? 50.
Yeah, that's a good opening.
Crazy.
But they were expecting better than that. They were expecting 75.
Wow.
That's the initial estimate, 75, 80 maybe, if it overperformed. But $118 million is not only stunning, but just the best ever opening for a horror movie ever.
Wow.
Record setting. Number one at the box office by far. Reese Witherspoon's new romantic comedy, Home Alone, was second
$9
million.
The number for number one and then the number for number two again, please.
$118 million for number one. Mm-hmm. Okay. For number two, $9 million.
It's a lot less.
Wow. Thank you, Allie, for putting that in perspective.
And I'm surprised because a horror movie did so well, and what's more terrifying than Reese Witherspoon? You would think that people who love to be frightened would enjoy that film as much. The idea of being in a relationship with Reese Witherspoon?
What did she do to you?
You want a balloon, Reese? I'll float down here. Hitman's Bodyguard was third with $5 million, then Annabelle Creation and Wind River. Leap, number six, Spider-Man Homecoming, Dunkirk, Logan Lucky, and The Emoji Movie were your top 10 films at the box office this weekend. This Kristen Bell, she's just the best.
She is the best.
She got stranded in Orlando during Hurricane Irma, and she decided to help out the families of a few old friends while she was down there. She could just hunker down and take care of herself. But some people reached out and said, since you're there, can you check in on... And she did. For example, her friend Josh Gad, who, of course, was her snowman friend in Frozen.
Olaf.
He's awesome.
They were stranded. Josh Gad's family was stranded there as well. So Kristen Bell not only took care of them, but made sure they had a nice, comfy hotel room to ride out the storm in.
Oh.
Jennifer Carpenter of Dexter fame. Her aunt and grandma were also stranded down there. Kristen found a way to get them out. So she's like a one-woman FEMA down there taking care of people.
Wow.
She also took some time out of her day to go and perform for people who were in a shelter at a local evacuation center in Orlando. She sang for them.
Wow.
She's a bitch.
That's not what we're saying at all.
Oh,
yeah.
She's awesome. And is Bobby Brown responsible for Michael Jackson's success?
No.
He is.
What?
If you ask him.
Bobby
Brown said he taught Michael Jackson how to moonwalk.
Okay.
So you have him to thank for that. Although he did admit that Michael Jackson was a quick learner.
Because he already knew it?
It's probably just Bobby was a good teacher. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah,
sure.
Reporters also asked him about the rumors of that he was supposed to be on Dancing with the Stars, but had a falling out with producers. And he told the reporters, don't ask me questions.
Wow. By definition,
which really
their
goes
job.
Right in the face of what their job is.
Huh.
So there's a guy who just does not understand
the
interplay between interviewer and interviewee. Don't ask me questions.
What else you got?
I'm sorry.
Other than questions.
Can I draw you a sketch? Can I make you a balloon animal? Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, September 11th. That's got to be a bad birthday, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. Tyler Hoechlin. We had him in on the show. He's Superman on Supergirl. He's dreamy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Also from Teen Wolf. Right?
Yep.
Still dreamy.
Still dreamy. Still dreamy.
And a good guy. A nice man. We had a good time when he was in here. 29 years old today. Taraji P. Henson. Mm-hmm. He's 46. Ludacris is 39. Harry Connick Jr. turns 49 years old today. Singer Moby is 51. And actress Elizabeth Henstridge is 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time to check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Harvey, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I love being on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How was your weekend?
Tell your face.
What?
You're all, I love being on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No, I love you guys.
See, that's better.
We go back a long way.
We do. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good.
You have a new TV show.
I'm so excited about
what
it.
What is happening with you?
I, you know what?
I mean, do you have to take over the world?
No. We've been working on this for a year. And I'm really proud of this and excited about it. We have a new show, and it's going to debut next Sunday on Fox News Channel at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 Pacific. And the show is called Objectified. And the idea behind the show is telling a life story, but not just sitting on a sofa. The idea is you go into somebody's home, a world leader, big celebrity, a sports figure. You go into their homes with them, and you find 7 objects that they chose to keep over the years from childhood on. And each object represents a period in their life. And the starting point is talking about the object, why they chose to keep it, what was going on in their life at the time. And through that, you're able to tell a story about how people were able to, learn things along the way that made them the person they are today. And it's really cool. And the people we interviewed are just great.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to, because when you hear Dancing with the Stars, I mean, maybe you recognize 2 or 3 names out of the list.
Okay, check this out. I interviewed Judge Judy, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Tyler Perry, Simon Cowell, Martha Stewart, Hulk Hogan, which is interesting because he hasn't really talked since the Gawker trial.
Right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's a crazy list.
It's a great list.
Mark Cuban?
Mark Cuban was fantastic.
I bet.
And it's a great list of people. And
objectified, but emphasis on the object. So object.
Emphasis on the object.
Okay, got it.
Wow, that sounds great.
It's really interesting. And it's, and everybody I talk to, it's not this kind of canned interview. It really is this, we talk about stuff that ends up surprising them, things they didn't really think about themselves, because the way you get into this is so different that it's almost there are revelations they have about their own lives.
If you were to say to me, pick 7 items from your childhood up till now,
You totally could.
I don't know
everybody,
what I would pick.
Every one of them said that to me, and every one of them ended up picking really cool stuff.
I would pick a rock that I threw at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Sure.
And that's it.
Okay,
that's it.
You know what? If you had that rock, I'd ask you about bullying.
No, he was throwing back, Harvey.
Ah, okay, then I'd ask you about mutual combat.
So Objectified is 5 p.m. in Los Angeles on Fox News.
5 p.m. Los Angeles on Sunday night.
On Sunday night on Fox News.
I'm so proud of this show. I love the show.
And the first episode is Judge Judy. What can you tell us about?
I
love her. I'm fascinated by her.
Best.
You're going to love it. If you love her, you're going to love the show. She just opens up, and she is 2 different people rolled into one.
Baloney. It doesn't make sense.
Right?
Well, you would say it doesn't make sense. Because,
not interested, sir.
Judy, he's pumping up your show.
She's this like fiercely, fiercely independent woman on the one hand. And then on the other hand, she needs a husband. She's got to have a husband. She doesn't like being alone. There was a point with her first husband where he said to her, look, I need to support our family. Your job is a hobby. And she became a housewife. And she listened to that, and she ended up, she watched soap operas for 5 years.
I would say she doesn't need a husband.
Yeah, I'm very shocked that that's...
Judy will tell you, when I did this thing with her, she just openly acknowledges, this is the way she puts it, I need to be mated.
Wow.
I need it.
I would...
Mated?
Ooh. Made it. She says made it.
I don't love that.
That's not a great word.
Well, she says it.
That's really shocking about her, because you look at her and you look at her on her TV show and everything that you know about her, you just go, she is a force of nature and needs nothing.
She is two different people rolled into one, and she makes it work. It's really interesting.
That's crazy.
Harvey, did you make her cry?
Look, you watch the show.
You made her cry.
How do you make Judy cry?
No, Judy and I had a great time.
Did you make her cry?
I'm not going to talk about what I did.
Oh, he made Judy cry.
He did. He made Judy cry.
You just got to watch the show.
Objectified, Fox News Sunday at 5 p.m. here in Los Angeles. Let's talk about one story, if you don't mind. And that
not at
all. And that is the Jay-Z and Kanye feud.
Yeah, yeah.
It's losing steam.
Well, you know, I didn't realize this until we started just jumping into it, but they've got this love-hate relationship, and have had it for a long time, and they get in feuds a lot, and then they come back together. They're like brothers. And
do you know why? Because Kanye's in that mix. That's my guess. I'm guessing it's not a lot of drama from Jay-Z. Am I wrong?
You know, I think Jay-Z presents a calmer picture, but the two of them, it takes two people, and they're both... They both just have this thing where they feud, and then they are brothers, and they feud and they're brothers. The feud this time, it's interesting. There are two things going on. One is they're in a multi-million-dollar dispute over Tidal that Kanye says he's owed, you know, millions of dollars from Tidal, and the lawyers are trying to work this thing out right now. What I found out was it's true that they're in the middle of this, but... That's not why they're mad at each other. They're mad. It has nothing to do with money, because these guys have got so much money, it almost doesn't matter. But what happened here is Jay-Z got really pissed off at Kanye when, you know, last October, Kanye, right in the middle of his meltdown.
Yeah, and his concert, right?
Yeah, attacked not just Jay-Z, but then attacked Beyonce and then attacked Blue Ivy. And Jay-Z was really pissed off, and he said, you can go after me, but you went after my family. And that did it. Kanye's position, ultimately, and his people were saying, look, he got put in a mental hold 2 weeks later, and he was not in his right mind, and you got to cut the guy a break. And, you know, that's what made this thing kind of last for a long time, that Jay-Z was not going to forgive him. But Kanye contacted Jay-Z about a week ago and wants a meeting, and it looks like they're going to resolve that. And the money thing was never really the sticking point between the two of them.
Of course, yeah. They both have more money than they need.
Yeah.
And you talk about a guy's wife and daughter, that's gonna make him angry.
Exactly.
All right. Harvey Levin, we always appreciate you taking the time from TMZ. You can watch TMZ throughout the day on Fox. You can watch TMZ Live at 4 p.m. on Fox, and TMZ Sports Monday to Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And then Objectified, the new show, is on Fox News at 5 p.m. And it is this Sunday.
Sunday.
Starring Judge Judy, who he made cry.
Oh.
It's one of the bands you can win tickets to all week long here on K-Rock. Imagine Dragons at the Hollywood Bowl. You can also see the Kings of Leon at the Hollywood Bowl, Arcade Fire at the Forum, or the Killers at Staples Center. Keep listening for your chance to win. Jim Carrey is crazy?
We hadn't heard much from Jim in a while, other than promoting his show, I'm Dying Up Here, on Showtime, which has been picked up for a second season. But...
And I heard one interview with him when he was doing that was... He seemed pretty normal, pretty together, uh-huh. And seemed like he was giving honest answers and telling stories. And,
mm-hmm.
But then he went to New York Fashion Week.
Well...
And he did the red carpet, and this was posted a couple days ago. And this poor interviewer, I don't know who she is, but she's from E! Entertainment Television, mm-hmm. And she's trying to talk to Jim Carrey about New York Fashion Week. And he's dressed up in a tuxedo and everything, and the first thing that happens is he walks up and he just starts circling her.
Yeah, they're doing like a weird little tango thing at the beginning.
Yeah, but she's not involved in it. Just trying to follow him around with a microphone, like, what's happening? Why are you walking around in circles?
Say, Jim Carrey. Yes.
What?
I've covered a lot of fashion weeks. This is the first time I've run in to Jim Carrey. Wait, tell me, is it true you're wandering the streets? You need a date to the party? What's up?
Okay, so he is circling her. So I'm not sure that should be your first question.
Maybe not the lead. Maybe that kind of sets the tone.
But he set the tone by she was literally turning around in 360 degrees just to try and keep up with him.
Yeah,
so that was weird.
It was odd.
Okay.
No. I'm doing just fine.
Okay. Now here's where he just really goes on the attack. and just tries to put the event down, mm-hmm. even though he's there and in a tux, mm-hmm. which is odd.
I just, there's no meaning to any of this. So I wanted to find the most meaningless thing that I could come to and join. And here I am.
All right. Now, I mean, he's there.
You're there. You were either invited or you wanted to go. You got dressed up. Why or
you
why?
You walked the red carpet.
Yeah.
Is he being a dick?
I'm trying to still figure this out.
Okay. Then it continues.
They're celebrating.
I mean, you got to admit, it's completely meaningless.
Well, they say they're celebrating icons inside.
Celebrating icons. Boy, that is just the absolute lowest aiming, you know, possibility that we could come up with.
Dick or crazy? We need a new game. Crazy or dick?
Maybe both. But let's be honest. I mean, I look at it as something BS. You know, New York Fashion Week. Give me a break.
Right, but you don't
I wouldn't go. But I wouldn't
you
go.
You wouldn't go.
Yeah,
right.
I'd say that from my living room.
Right. He's there in a tuxedo.
Right.
So it's odd to really attack an event that you're at.
Right.
All right.
It's like icons. What do you believe in icons? I don't believe in personalities. I don't believe that you exist, but there is a wonderful fragrance in the air.
All right. Now, at that point, because he says, I don't think you exist, mm-hmm. now I think he's just messing with her.
Yeah, he's just doing like an Andy Kaufman type thing.
Sort of, okay. Yeah. I mean, he's just like putting the screws to this poor girl who's just trying to get an interview.
You don't believe certain icons have the power to make change, to think differently, to be bold, to inspire others?
That's not a bad question.
Yes, right.
Especially mm-hmm. if you've just been attacked.
Yeah.
Artistry, you're one of them.
On the good foot. Ha! Yeah. You shut it down now.
Okay, now crazy.
He's back to crazy.
Right? Full on.
Yeah, no, I don't believe in icons. I don't believe in personalities. I believe that peace lies beyond personality.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Crazy or a-hole?
I'm going with him here.
Okay.
Beyond invention and disguise. Beyond the red S that you wear on your chest that makes bullets bounce off.
Okay, now I'm going, he's messing with her. He's a-hole.
Right.
I believe that it's deeper than that. I believe we're a field of energy dancing for itself. And I don't care.
But Jim, you got really...
Now there, it's just funny.
It's just funny.
I mean,
I don't care.
But Jim, you got really dressed up for the occasion. You look good.
I like that she called him out on mm-hmm. it.
You're here.
You're here and you're in a tux and you look great.
Right.
So clearly you dressed up. To which he responds...
No,
was
I didn't
that an
get
accident?
Dressed up. I didn't get dressed
Who
up.
Who did?
There is no me.
There's no you.
No.
We're not here. This is a dream.
There's just things happening. And there are clusters of tetrahedrons moving around together.
Okay.
Yes.
So what's happening in our world right now? Because there is a lot of news that actually is relevant that's not that
Here's
uplifting.
The thing. It's not our world.
None
that's
of this is
key.
Real?
Nope.
So you're just passing
We don't
through.
Matter. We don't matter.
Oh, wow.
There's the good news.
Okay.
And then he pats her on the shoulder and walks away.
Oh.
Right?
Wow.
So after hearing the whole thing, crazy or a-hole? Because I feel like I'm leaning a-hole.
Yeah, he's
I
just
never,
he's
I never
completely,
wanted to say that sentence.
Yeah, you're feeling a-hole?
Right. I'm feeling like Jim Carrey's just being an a-hole to be an a-hole.
Yeah, I think he's messing with her and trying to say like really deep things that make you go, oh, but I agree with him. It's come on.
But she
it's
held
New
her own.
York Fashion Week. Right. Get over yourself.
You know that you know exactly what it is when you go there.
Absolutely.
So a-hole. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. A little bit later on this morning, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Why is that happening?
Nobody has fixed this mic since the last time I said, can someone come fix this mic?
Oh, my goodness.
Everything is going
These
wrong.
These people, the way they just don't do things.
True.
I wish people did more things.
Can you stop doing whatever you're doing?
I can't
it
because
sounds
the
good.
Mic just...
Why don't we use this microphone? How about this
there
microphone?
There you go.
Well,
Why
no,
choose
we
that
always
and put
say
that
don't
in your face.
Use the yellow microphone.
Well, now we're using
the
yellow
worst.
Microphone.
But there's a lot less of this.
Right.
The love
See, that,
of God.
That would be not good. This,
right.
This banging, slapping sound.
This?
We turn that off now.
Yeah,
so
turn that
we'll,
off
we'll
so
make
that wouldn't happen
Oh, the blue
anymore.
Light's still on.
Later on this morning, we're going to talk to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and from DirecTV's Red Zone channel. How did your Eagles do, Ralph?
Oh, they just won, that's all. They just won a division game for their first game. Suck it, Redskins. You like that? You like that? Kirk Cousins, mother effer.
How blunt, too.
Okay.
Carson Wentz did well, right?
Wentz did really well. Yeah, yeah. He threw for over 300 yards, just had a really good game.
Yeah, my team, the Cardinals, got owned by the Lions.
Mm. Well, the powerhouse Lions.
That's not ideal.
Who can take them on? And they're the even money to win the Super Bowl.
Allie's Patriots already lost.
Oh, they didn't lose.
Cheaters.
They got trounced.
All right, anyway, we'll talk to Andrew Siciliano coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54 now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here is Ralph Garman.
I think I'm the only winner.
Well, Chips Dolphins didn't play. That was postponed. So I think that's
a win for them.
Right.
Right. Seahawks got slapped around.
Yeah.
By Green Bay last night.
I think you're the only winner.
Yeah. Well, as it should be. Let's take a look at the show business news as we do on a Monday morning. We look at the top 10 movies at the box office. It surprised everyone. It was expected to be number one this weekend, but it wasn't expected to be a juggernaut, record-breaking smash hit. $118 million in its opening weekend.
It's funny because that movie seems so polarizing. The people that weren't going really, really weren't going. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't going? They hated the idea of it.
Who hated it?
A lot of people were just like, I don't want to have anything to do with scary clowns. I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Huh.
I asked.
Well, those people aren't horror movie people then, because they probably wouldn't go to a lot of scary movies.
Probably, but I think the clown thing also complicates it a little bit. A lot of people are scared of clowns, and maybe they would go see a horror movie with a doll or a kid, but not a clown.
Mm.
Although kids, to me, are the most scary.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
What about a kid clown doll?
Those are the worst.
Terrifying. Remember Poltergeist?
The kid had a
clown doll on the wall.
And it just sat there right on the
shelf.
Floor. And, yeah. Poor shelf.
For the floor.
All I know is when Poltergeist came out, that's when my family moved to a new house. We had an oak tree in the front yard, and I was like, we're not moving. We're not moving into that home because the oak tree is going to kill us.
You thought the tree was going to reach inside and try to grab you?
And it didn't.
Nope. That was a dumb idea you had.
Based on a movie.
Yep. Your parents should have left you wherever they were leaving from and moved on and started a new life.
Yeah, we'll be right back, honey.
Yep. Okay, you don't have to move in this new house. Just stay here in this one. Don't bother us anymore with your dumb ideas, child. That's what they should have said to you.
Good Lord.
You didn't move the bodies! Anyway, we're not talking about Poltergeist. We're talking about it.
Right.
$118 million. Made it the best ever opening movie for a horror movie ever. That's a lot of movies that have been horror movies that have opened. This is the best.
Right.
Most of all the monies, it has earned more money than all of the others.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Home Again, the new Reese Witherspoon horror film about dating her.
I think it's a rom-com.
Did not... fair as well. Only made $9 million. Hitman's Bodyguard made $5 million. They made it number three. Annabelle Creation was fourth. Wind River came in at number five. Then Leap, Spider-Man Homecoming, Dunkirk, Logan Lucky, and The Emoji Movie. Top 10 films at the box office. Is John Mayer trying to get another high-profile girlfriend? Sure seems that way. On Friday, he was tweeting out tweets like this. I spend an inordinate amount of time per day wondering if Nicki Minaj would like me or not. Then Nicki Minaj responded on Twitter, would my body be your wonderland? Asking for a friend. It's on, right?
It's on.
They're totally going to bone now. She's going to get his anaconda. And she's going to be his wonderland. What, Allie? Oh, Conspiracy Allie. Let's take a stroll down Conspiracy Allie. Looks like she's got an idea.
No, I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. What are you saying?
John Mayer said in an interview something about his penis being like a white supremacist and why he doesn't go for black women. This was years ago, so this is all very suspect to me. I don't like it. I don't like any of it.
Is it possible he was joking then and or
you
now?
You don't joke about a white supremacy and your penis and bringing up David Duke.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just all gross. Okay. This whole thing just grossed me out.
Maybe he puts a white hood on it. Maybe that's what he was talking about.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Before he has sex.
I'm just saying, it's all very problematic.
It sounds racist.
Well, it sounds like his penis has had a change of heart,
well,
right?
I hope
Which
it
is
has.
What we want,
I
right?
hope it has.
Don't we want our penises to be open-minded? Isn't that what we want, Allie?
Have a mind and a heart?
Yes.
Well, that's a complicated.
I hope so.
Complicated organ.
I hope so, but just John.
So if his
you.
Penis has had a change of heart and now it can be open enough to date Nicki Minaj, shouldn't we be happy about that instead of casting aspersions, Allie?
I'm just saying, John. I got a long memory.
All right? You do. That's true.
I'm just saying.
You have a long John Mayer memory?
I do.
Any name we bring
up. I wish
up.
That oak tree had gone through your window. Dragged you out into the storm.
Any name we bring up, Allie will go, I don't know, 27 years ago this happened.
Right.
It's a crazy memory.
If you're keeping it home, by the way, here's John Mayer's travel squad. This is a list of women he has dated, okay?
All right.
Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, Jennifer Aniston, Jessica Simpson, Jennifer Love Hewitt, and that's just the ones that are listed here.
I figured I'd wait until the end of that list.
Yeah. Order up. I don't know. Allie doesn't like it. Allie's got John Mayer feelings.
Just saying. Like, Nicki can do better.
I like that Nicki Minaj, by the way.
Me too.
She's talented. Did you ever see her in Saturday Night Live? She's like a funny, talented actress. She
really?
Can really
she pulled
do
it
stuff.
Off?
Yeah, yeah, she's really, really. I was impressed. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tyler Hoechlin is 29 years old today. Superman himself from the Supergirl TV series. Taraji P. Henson is 46. Ludacris is 39. Harry Connick Jr. is 49. Moby's 51. And Elizabeth Henstridge celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Allie, you did or did not go see It.
What do you think?
Not your kind of thing.
No.
Chip saw It, loved it.
Yeah.
I saw it, loved it.
Yeah.
Biggest opening for a horror movie ever.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's crazy.
Do you think it might have pushed people that were kind of on the fence? Because Stephen King has a way of not loving a lot of the adaptations of his books.
Yeah, he'll badmouth them.
Yeah, he straight up came out and was like, I was not prepared to love this movie like I did. That probably helped some people that might have been, you know, the Stephen King junkies that were like, I'm not going to see it. Mm. But then they were like, wait, Stephen said it was great. Mm.
Can I hear your impression again, please? Well, we thought we would check in with Pennywise this morning, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Do you mind?
Terrifying, but sure.
Hey, Pennywise.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Everything's great down here. Why don't you come down and join me?
I don't want to.
I mean, I don't...
Come on, Allie.
Oh, I hate it.
Everything floats down here.
I heard that.
I don't want to go into the sewer. Who plays in the sewer?
You want a balloon, Allie?
Don't, Pennywise. I don't.
Allie, you want a balloon?
Don't.
Come on, bucko. Everybody loves balloons down here.
All right.
Damp down here.
Yeah. I'll bet the conditions are pretty rough down there.
Not good. It's not good for my bronchitis.
Oh no.
Now, why do you only come up every 27 years? That's my question for you.
27 years.
Yeah.
Every 27 years, you see your old pal Pennywise.
Right.
Right.
What? Like,
what's happening in between that? I think Kevin wants to know.
Oh, I nap.
Oh, wow.
And I also do I do needlepoint.
Oh, you do.
No, I wouldn't have picked needlepoint.
Yeah, I've made a lovely pillow.
Okay. That, Allie likes pillows.
Hey, Allie, would you like a pillow?
I mean, I'd rather a pillow than a balloon.
Yeah, I got a balloon on a pillow for you. It's a... It's a pillow balloon. It's a pillow with a balloon that's been stitched on the cover of the pillow. The worst pillow of your dreams. The pillow of your nightmare.
Why are you making pillows terrifying?
Because I'm your nightmare. I'm your worst dreams come true. I'm like an endless bean podcast played over and over again.
Wow. Wow.
And I'll kill you all.
Well, that would give you that feeling, I assume.
Hey, you want a balloon?
No, thank you.
Nobody wants a balloon?
I don't think so. No, we're...
I got a lot of balloons.
We're all good.
I got a special on balloons today.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. You want a red balloon?
I mean, not
I'll
really.
Take a balloon, Kevin.
God damn it, Kevin.
Okay, all right, I'll take a balloon.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Blowing it up.
Oh, you're blowing it up. Wow.
Just takes a minute. All righty.
Okay. All right.
Big balloon.
I got a balloon. Oh, no.
Pennywise.
We're going to be here a while.
Okay. Andrew Siciliano joins us next hour from the NFL Network and the Red Zone on DirecTV, which everybody enjoyed a free weekend of. Am I right, Allie? Chip?
We don't have DirecTV, Kevin.
Okay, all right.
We're not rich like you.
I enjoyed it. Yes, you
did.
Shut
up, beer mug.
What got us on the topic that we're about to discuss?
Last week, a story came out of the BBC, Bristol, UK. A woman was on a Tinder date and had to use the bathroom, like one does after a lovely dinner. And she went number two and it didn't flush. And she panicked. So
now that's the interesting part, because what do you do at that moment when you realize stuff has all gone wrong and you're causing a lot of problems?
Right.
What do you do? How do you react?
And we had done a story a year or so ago. This happened to a woman. So she just collected it, put it in some tissue, put it in her purse. That's one way to do it.
This woman,
however, in Bristol decided she would collect it and chuck it out the window. Except this guy had one of those double-paned windows, and so she threw it, and it actually landed in between the two windows. And then she got stuck in between the two windows,
so she tried to
trying to retrieve it.
Okay, see, I'm not retrieving it.
No, at once it's point, in there, you're out.
Right, you just leave as quickly as possible, and maybe he doesn't notice it right away.
Absolutely.
And then maybe it's not you.
And he's not going to think, oh, that was probably that one Tinder date.
Right.
She must have tried to chuck her poo. Yes, she could have done away with all of this,
yes, just
left it a mystery.
But she didn't.
She tried.
She tried to crawl down and retrieve it and got stuck.
Got stuck. Then the fire department came out. They had to break one of the windows. Then they put it up on GoFundMe. Please help us. It was a whole thing. Very funny.
Yes.
But oh dear.
If it's not you. Very funny.
Yes.
Mug, speaking of the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the fire department called out here. What was it, last year?
Yeah.
I went into the bathroom right outside the studio. And
the signs everywhere, by the way, that say don't no number two.
No number two in that bathroom. By the way, which Jack Black previously had destroyed that same bathroom.
Yeah, Jack Black was a guest on the show, and he did go in and use that restroom. And then he stuck his head in, and it was after the show, it was about 10:15, and he stuck his head in, and he said, "You're going to need a plumber."
Yeah.
And we all laughed because Jack Black is very funny.
Sure.
And then we needed a plumber.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bathroom has a hard time flushing the materials down the toilet.
But maybe don't go into that one if you know that you're prone to that type of thing, Muggs.
But here's the thing, Kevin. That day, the toilet flushed everything fine.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the fire department came out was because I was overusing the air freshener that was in the bathroom. To the point where I look like an air traffic controller spraying the air freshener up and down and left and right.
Why were you using so much of it?
It was.
I understand why. I'm saying why so much?
Because I wanted to make sure if there's anybody to walk in right after me, they would have no hint of what I had just done in
that
bathroom.
They would get destroyed by the smell of
that. But, okay, would you rather be destroyed by air freshener?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's why I did it, and it set off the fire alarm in the bath, the smoke alarm in the bath, the smoke detector in the bathroom.
Yes, yeah. And the fire department responded. Mm-hmm. So we were having our meeting, and Muggs was just sitting there, happy,
like nothing happened,
sort of in the doorway, like nothing happened.
Well, here's the thing: right when I had sprayed it, it immediately went off, and it's a loud beeping noise. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole building hears it. I walked out of the bathroom shortly thereafter with this look of like pale white, oh my god,
that was me,
but I'm gonna try to play this off and make sure no one thinks it's me,
because we didn't know who it was or what it was at the time. So you walked in and sat down and no one thought anything about it
except the look on my face. Someone, I think Dave, was like, Muggs.
Well, that was once the fire department responded.
Yeah.
And there were what, eight firemen?
Yeah, they
in the
were not joking around.
Yeah. Yeah, they were standing there, and then Muggs said, I think this is a direct quote, that might have been me. And that's when they explained too much aerosol will set off the smoke detectors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at a party at Bean's house, and I believe it was a Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it worse.
And might be the last party Bean and his wife ever threw.
Ever invited me to, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
So
you're at a party and you know that you can't, you shouldn't, because,
yeah.
But you can't, what are you supposed to do?
Right.
Yeah.
So I avoided the downstairs one because I didn't want to ruin, you know, anyone's time.
Okay.
And I went upstairs because I knew there was a bathroom up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I used that one, and then things went south, but not quickly enough.
Okay.
And the water started overflowing.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Now, I'm dressed up, for me, relatively well. I've got jeans and a dress shirt, and mm-hmm. it's a kind of a nice party.
But you at least leaned down and, like, turned off the water, so it wouldn't totally over... Oh,
no? I panicked.
Okay.
It was about two-thirds of the way through the party. I panicked, and I ran. I don't
downstairs
know
if, to tell Bean something was wrong with the toilet.
No, I ran from his house.
Nope.
And got in my car.
Heaven.
And drove home.
Come on.
Why was that my reaction? I don't know.
That's not good.
Right.
And from what I understand, Donna then went upstairs a while later and saw that the bathroom was flooded.
Yeah, she heard me telling this story about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
This was probably 12, 13 years ago.
Right.
She heard us talking about this about a year ago, and she called in to say, yeah, it was a huge disaster.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was you, and why wouldn't you just tell us? And I said, I don't know, but...
It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. But I ran from a party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's other guests at the party that didn't right. necessarily know that it was me.
Everybody poops, you guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know what I should have done? We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Describe wrecking someone's party, your house, or work, but do it without giving us all the gory details, because we understand
exactly. We get it. What's we get happened. What happened.
What I thought later is that I should have gone downstairs and then said, you know, hi to Donna or Bean, and then gone upstairs to the restroom, and then I can be the one, I go, oh, you guys, you got a problem up here.
Right.
That's what I should have done.
You could have been the hero.
Exactly. Yes. I just noticed something. We need to get on this
right.
stat.
Right. Instead, you were the poo villain.
And I ran.
Yes.
I'm fascinated by my own reaction running from their house. I don't know why that happened.
Yeah.
You would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for yourself, Kevin.
Yeah, correct. Correct. I could have easily. I mean, there were probably 40 people in the house.
Yeah.
Why did I think I needed to
Kevin, we
run
can't
away?
Figure out your
All right.
brain.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next. By the way, K-Rock presents Prophets of Rage in the HD Radio Sound Space.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty cool.
That's going to be amazing.
Listen to K-Rock all this week to win. You get passes to see Prophets of Rage at the HD Radio Sound Space September 21st. And another chance for you to win is coming up. All right. You destroyed restrooms. Now, we don't need to know the gritty details because we all understand how that works. So leave that part of the story out.
Mm-hmm.
But what was your reaction to doing it? Mine was to sprint away from it.
Well, you were much lighter at that point.
I ran as fast as I could to get away from it. I don't know. I don't understand it. Looking back on it, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I had a lot of other options, but none of them came to my mind. It was just a panic run.
And I like that it was a good 15 years later that Donna was actually listening and realized he did that at our home.
Yeah, that was Bean's wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
She never knew until I shouldn't have told the story a year
ago. You really
ago.
Shouldn't.
That's my bad. Let's start with Ray in Chatsworth. Hi, Ray.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you. You?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. Man. Thank you.
All right.
So a few years back, after high school, I snuck a girl into my grandparents' house. And, you know, she had to go freshen up.
Mm-hmm.
And a few seconds later, she comes running back into my room, whispering in a panic that my bathroom is flooding. And
that's not freshening up, by the way. I don't know the exact definition of freshening up, but I don't think it involves that.
You know, man, I would have taken that over, you know, anything else.
Sure.
It would have been fine.
So she flooded the bathroom.
So I dart to the bathroom, and I'm tiptoeing all over the place, and I don't know what to do, so I just start grabbing a bunch of my grandma's clean towels, and I just start throwing them all over the ground. and I start soaking everything up. And at the same time, I'm wondering, is this still going to happen? Like, is it?
Of course, you're waiting for your payday.
Ray's like, if I clean this up quickly, it's still on, right? And did it?
Well, so
did it still happen?
So I soaked everything up, and yeah, it still happened.
Look at you.
It was a good night.
Yes,
all right,
was.
Ray. Nice work.
Started badly, ended well. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. We just got a text. Richie from the 714. I clogged a toilet a year ago at my friend's birthday party, and I was so embarrassed I left $200 on the bathroom sink and an apology note on the mirror saying, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I didn't do any of that.
No, you didn't.
That makes me worse than him by far. Aaron in Rancho Cucamonga. Hi, welcome to the Kevin and BJ.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good morning.
So you wrecked someone's restroom. What happened?
Okay, so this is back when I was in high school. I got expelled that day, went over to my friend's house to wait for him to come home because I had nothing else to do. And while I was sitting there, I was hanging out, and I had to use his restroom. So I went into his restroom, and he had a restroom that was prone to, like, yeah, double flush, triple flush type thing.
Right.
And it wasn't going down, so I just kept hitting it, and it went down, but it was still running. I didn't think much of it, thought like, oh, okay, it went down. Walked away, and I went to his room, started playing video games, ended up taking a nap. I woke up, and my buddy Daniel and his sister and his brother were home with shovels and brooms sweeping out the whole house. There was maybe 3 inches of water in the whole house.
Oh my no. God. You made it and so much worse.
Well, what was worse is because this was back when I was in high school. I ended up seeing his dad just a couple years ago, started talking to me about how much it cost to remodel all of his flooring in his house and all the new carpet and hardwood floor. And I was like, okay, I don't even want to talk to this guy anymore.
No, you don't.
Wow.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that, Aaron. Let's move along to Justin. This is a strange one.
Mm-hmm.
Justin, how did you destroy a stranger's house?
Okay. Morning.
Morning.
So, last year, my wife and I were going through the housing market. I'm with my realtor. We're going through a series of houses. We had lunch. Montezuma's Revenge shows up, and I'm halfway through this house. There's a wife. There's a husband. There's two kids running through their own house. We're guests. We're walking through.
Oh, so they were in the house while you took the tour?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was extremely awkward.
Okay.
So the pit sweat starts going, the back sweat, the upper lip sweat. I'm in a panic. I asked the homeowner, I said, hey, do you mind if I use your restroom? My wife looks at me and just has that look of, oh, God, no.
Don't you do that, Justin. She's thinking in
she
her
knew
head,
exactly
don't you?
What was coming. So we're downstairs. My wife goes upstairs with the family and go down the hall and just Montezuma's Revenge, let loose. I'm done, flush, come back out. And I swear, the smell would gag a maggot.
We don't need that kind of detail because we know how it works.
Yes. So the family's looking at me. We're standing there. It's completely awkward. And now they want to talk. The wife grabs my wife, goes back down the hall, and makes it a point to show the bathroom and downstairs.
Oh, no.
And my wife walks back looking at me. And my realtor, he can't stop laughing. All I want to do is, like you were saying, I just got to get out of this house. I said, thank you for your time. Shake the guy's hand, and I walk out. A couple of minutes later, my wife walks out with the realtor, and I'm standing there embarrassed, beet red, covered in sweat. And then it just laughter ensues in the front lawn, and we walk out, and that was it.
Justin, you did the right thing, though, and bought the house, right?
No, you're kidding. The bathroom's destroyed. You don't want to buy a house with a bad bathroom.
Yeah, there's no way I could set foot in that house ever again.
Oh, no.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Tanya in Huntington Beach. Hey, Tanya.
Wait, women don't poop.
That's what I thought until this call.
Well, I was about 12 years old, and I took a big old
yes, we know, yeah.
Log in my family.
Listen, people. We don't need a description of what it was. Or what
I do
it,
love that she's in a big old log.
Or what it appeared to be. We don't need to know about the smell.
I want to hear more from Tanya.
She's still on the line, but I'm just saying we don't need that kind of information. All right,
well,
Tanya.
That's part of it. So I clogged the toilet. I was about 12, and my 8-year-old cousin was with me. And I was so worried my grandpa was going to get mad. I made us both wrap our hands in saran wrap and carry the log to the other toilet.
Oh no. You made your cousin do that?
I made him help me.
Oh, my God.
Catch all of the poopy drippings.
Okay.
All right, Tanya.
I've heard enough from Tanya. I don't think I can take any more. Let's try Joey in Long Beach. Hi, Joey.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. We know what happens right up to the point where you cause a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I was dating this girl a long time ago. We went out to dinner, and I felt the fear setting in. And we get back to her house, and she said she's going to go check her messages. So I said, I'm going to use the restroom. and just demolished it. Well, about 5 minutes afterwards, she runs downstairs and says, do not use that restroom because it's broken.
Oh, best case scenario. She doesn't know it's you.
I had already used it, so I was freaking out, and I'm like, what am I going to do? Oh. So I run to the kitchen, I grab rubber gloves, and I'm starting to figure out if I'm going to take this out and put it in their sink.
Oh, what? She must have
Joey,
been.
No.
Joey, she must have been really hot.
So,
right, because I don't get the kitchen gloves out if she's not a 9 or a 10.
Right? It's a good scale. It's a good scale. Uh-huh.
I mean, honestly, I ran from one of my best friend's houses. What do you think I'm going to do on a date?
Yeah, I was freaking out. So anyways, I let it go, and about, I don't know, 30 minutes later, I got up, and I went into the bathroom, and I went, oh, God, what the, you know? And she said, what's wrong? And I said, I don't know. Somebody came in here and must have taken a dump.
See,
and,
that's why he's so much smoother than I am. That's what I should have done.
I never got caught, but it was still pretty embarrassing and gross.
Well, of course, it's gross and embarrassing. But if you don't get caught, it's less embarrassing.
Yeah, you win.
I know.
Ben, you were smart enough not to have a radio show with a guy who then you told later that it was his house as well. So you win. See, my Cardinals lost. Patriots lost.
Loser, loser.
Eagles.
Winners!
Rams.
Winners!
Chargers play tonight. Talking to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Coming up just after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here for a look at the showbiz beat.
Rams got it done, by the way.
They sure did.
Roughed them up. Hey, boys and girls, children of all ages, you'll be happy to know Hollywood Babylon is returning. It's been a while since we did a live show locally. We just got back. We were in San Jose this past weekend and had a couple great shows. We're going to be down in Brea this coming weekend doing a show at the Improv in Brea. So if you're down there, come on out and see Hollywood Babylon. We're doing it on Sunday for a change, doing an early Sunday show. It is Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Brea Improv. You can go to improv.com, then click on locations, click on Brea, and boom, there we are.
Oh, my God, no way.
So you'll be there, sir, right?
Nope. Nope.
I'm surprised. Usually I get a lot of yeses.
No, no. No, no.
So you're not going to go? You're not going to go?
No,
to improv.com?
Hell no.
Click on Brea?
No.
And then buy tickets for the Sunday Sunday Hollywood Babylon show. You're missing out. So we're going to have a good time. It is Monday morning. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. I would like to apologize this morning when I reported on the box office numbers.
I said
that It debuted with $118 million. And, of course, that's ridiculous, and I apologize, and I'm sorry, and I should have known at that time that that was a mistaken number.
It's more like what they expected, like 65 or 70.
Actually, it's $124 million. I apologize.
Wow.
So it's higher than you said.
Higher.
$124 million.
Yeah. Shattering box office records for its opening weekend. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Nuts.
Why did they give it a more cautious estimate this morning as I was reporting it? Well, they were afraid about the potential side effects of Hurricane Irma and the NFL starting up this weekend, so they assumed it would probably be in the $118 million range. It turns out it's closer to $124 million. So.
Can I tell you what I liked about it?
Scary Clown with balloons?
Yes. Skarsgård was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The cast is mainly made up of kids, and they're all great.
Yeah.
Music was used brilliantly. And it was songs that you wouldn't expect, like New Kids on the Block, and there was a Cure song. It was super creative that way. And a lot of times, horror movies try to be funny and aren't. And the comedy landed. It was natural. It fit right in. It was really well done.
I feel like you like this movie.
A lot. Have I mentioned that?
Yeah.
Okay, back to you, Ralph.
Home Again was number two at the box office with $9 million. Hitman's Bodyguard was three. Annabelle Creation was four, and then Wind River was number five. Leap was six. Spider-Man Homecoming was number seven. Dunkirk came in at number eight. Then Logan Lucky and the Emoji Movies. This daughter of Cindy Crawford. Have you seen this, Kaia Gerber?
I have not.
She's a pretty young girl.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
She made her runway debut at the New York Fashion Week this past weekend, and boy, she's sure literally walking in her mom's footsteps. She's just 16 years old, but she was walking in the Calvin Klein show on Thursday night and did a couple others as well. So
She just landed her first photo campaign with the Marc Jacobs line, and she's also doing magazine covers and stuff. So,
same.
16. Pretty good deal.
Yeah.
For a 16-year-old. In the world of television, you'll be happy to know Ozzy Osbourne and his son Jack, their reality series Ozzy and Jack's World Detour has been picked up for a second season, so we can watch more of it.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, that's right. There was a show, and it existed, and it was on television.
Are you serious right now?
I am very serious.
I remember hearing about it.
I don't remember, and I know he has a son.
Okay,
named
good.
Jack, that's
good.
It.
Right. They had a show together called Ozzy and Jack's World Detour, where they would travel around the world together.
No, they didn't.
They did, and they did, and now they'll be doing it for a second
season. He's not asking. He's telling you that it's a second renewed.
However, it's moving from the History Channel to A&E.
That's why.
So you're going to, if you want to watch the second season, Ali, like you watched the first, you're going to have to change your viewing habits from History Channel to A&E.
Nope.
They did, Ali. The first season, they went to Mount Rushmore, nope. Stonehenge, the Alamo, Roswell, the Jamestown Settlement, and Sun Studios.
I'm sorry.
Ralph, did you have any idea this existed?
I watched it.
Ralph.
All the time.
On what?
On the History Channel.
Stop reading it. Did you know the show existed?
Yes.
Ralph.
Did you see it?
Look over there. Stonehenge. Yeah, Dad, look. There's some stones.
I feel like I would want to see Ozzy at all of those places.
I actually did see it a couple times. It was very entertaining. They're charming together, the two of them.
Okay.
And in movie news, how about a movie about an African-American police officer who infiltrates the Ku Klux Klan? Right? That's hilarious. Only it's a drama and it's real.
How?
Oh.
True story about Detective Ron Stallworth of the Colorado Springs Police Department, who answered an ad in the local newspaper looking for new Klan members. And he did. He went undercover.
They just put an ad in a newspaper?
Yes. So they're making a feature film about this story. It's fascinating. Denzel will play Ron Stallworth, the detective. And the two men bringing it to you, how about the creative minds of Spike Lee and Jordan Peele?
Oh.
All right.
As screenwriter and director.
Love it.
Not only did Ron Stallworth, and again, an African-American detective, not only did he join the group, he eventually became the head of the local chapter. Now you're asking yourself, how did he do this?
How did he do that?
He did it mostly on the phone.
On the phone?
Mm-hmm. He talked to a lot of the members via the phone. Then, of course, he would be under the hood for some of the meetings. And then when he had to do face-to-face meetings, he would send in a white officer from the squad that he would brief on what he had to say, and he would send him in to take meetings face-to-face.
That's insane.
It's crazy, and it's a fascinating real-life story, and it's going to be a major motion picture soon.
I'm in.
Right? I'd see that.
Absolutely.
And Wes Scanlon, you know him as the front man for Puddle of Mud. He's got some problems. He's been struggling as of late.
Yeah.
Once again, arrested on Saturday at LAX. He was on his way to a gig in Texas, and he tried to get onto his flight with a BB gun. They don't really like you to have a gun of any kind on the plane these days.
Not even a BB gun, it turns out.
He got booked with his bail set at $850,000. There were some other charges as well. As of last night, he's still behind bars. And then the band had to cancel its gig in Keller, Texas. So, there's an upside. Every cloud has a silver lining. And there was a Puddle of Mud show that was canceled as a result
of this.
So
the world's a little lighter
today. So I'm saying, not everything is bad in the news. Sometimes good things work out, right?
Let's see.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tyler Hoechlin is 29 years old today. He's dreamy, by the way. It's a man right there, right? That 5 o'clock shadow, right?
It's happening right now.
Rough against your skin.
You need a minute?
Taraji P. Henson's 46. Ludacris is 39. Harry Connick Jr. turns 49 years old today. Moby is 51. And Elizabeth Henstridge. So lovely and talented. She's 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Welcome to the studio, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone. Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. I missed you.
Welcome back. So happy to be after week number one of the NFL.
It is good to be here. And I know, Kevin, you hate when I don't make eye contact and I'm looking at my phone. I'm tweeting that I'm going on the show right now. Is that okay?
That's fine.
No, but I haven't
have called you out on that.
You have called me out on that.
Okay.
What?
Really?
Put your phone down.
Well, I mean, when we're doing an interview,
I get it.
I'm a professional.
I just wanted to say this. Lord. For those who don't know, you guys are in a nuclear bunker here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's
it
true.
It has no cell service. You right. do have Wi-Fi. Yeah. It takes a second to get on the Wi-Fi.
It does,
I
yes.
remember how to do that.
Okay, it's all right.
I'm right.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay, I'm coming
Why
in defensive.
Are you so
I'm
mad
sorry.
At Andrew?
I'm not...
Why are you so angry with him, Kevin?
Maybe you're mad at me. Have you ever thought of that?
No.
Let's start over.
Let's Hi. Start with the Raiders, shall we?
They look good.
The Raiders. Let's talk about their kicker, because that was one of the most fascinating stories to me.
Giorgio Tavecchio.
Yes.
Yes, he's born in Milan.
Okay.
He came to Cal to play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up playing football.
For how many NFL teams?
Well, no, to Cal, like to Berkeley.
To Cal, yes.
And then after he got out of Berkeley, he's tried out for a million teams.
Right.
Including the Raiders on multiple occasions. He's been their preseason kicker multiple times.
And how many games has he played?
He's never played a regular season game until yesterday, and he was perfect. He had 252-yarders, and they asked him after the game, because Janikowski's here for the first 2 months, asked him after the game, what was it like waiting, and he quoted Aristotle.
Like I do.
Sure.
He quoted Aristotle.
Uh-huh. And said,
great. I don't remember what the But it was great.
You just wanted to say Aristotle? Here's the thing. The guy has never played a regular season game. Mm-hmm. The Raiders signed him less than 24 hours before their opening game.
But he had been there. Like, I mean, he had been there all summer. Right, right. So he's waiting probably in the courtyard by Marriott down the street. I'm not kidding.
That's how I always wonder about these, because every year there's a couple of stories of people who are bagging groceries the week before. Mm-hmm. And, you know that they've played football before, but then they get that call. It just must be the weirdest thing in the world.
Well, how about Travis Wilson of the Rams, who's on their practice squad, right? He was a quarterback at Utah, right? And a successful quarterback, had injury issues. He was working at a surf shop in Laguna, and he was ready to quit and go to Australia to play in some half-assed, like, new football league in high school stadiums.
Right.
And then he decided, well, maybe I'll try to change positions. And he lost some weight, or gained some weight, rather, tried to play tight end, went to a tryout camp for the Rams, and ended up now in the practice squad. So he's getting an NFL paycheck now. He was selling flip-flops in Laguna
a year ago.
That's
insane that happens.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to the Rams in 1 second, but the Raiders were impressive.
They were.
Even on defense.
Look, the Raiders last year, you could argue, were a Super Bowl team if Derek Carr hadn't broken his leg in December.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
What surprised me is how well their defense played yesterday.
That was a big question mark going in.
Their secondary is a disaster. Their linebackers, not named Khalil Mack, not good. We saw them with the Rams up there a couple of weeks ago. I mean, Derek Carr looks great, and Marshawn Lynch, you knew he was going to be rusty. They have those parts, but Tennessee was supposed to, I still think will be, a good team, but they punched him in the mouth.
Yeah. Was that a surprise?
Yes. Not surprised that they won, surprised how they won.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, let's get to the Rams. They destroyed the Colts.
So I texted a friend in their building yesterday morning and said, good luck. You know, new season?
Right.
Good luck. And he wrote back, fun! Exclamation point. Offense! Exclamation point. Like, woo! This is before the game. Like, woo, we may score points. It's amazing how it feels so different when you can actually score points.
Yeah.
What a novel concept, not just to market the millennials, but to like, yay, win games.
Well, there's one thing to believe that you can do it, and there's another thing to actually do it and then look back and go, I did it. And they 46-9 over the Colts.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
So remember when Todd Gurley said last year, and he took a lot of crap for it, we have a high school offense? He was kind of right.
He was right, wasn't he?
This is not to bag on the old staff, okay? But you had inexperience at offensive coordinator. You did have a rookie quarterback, so they were limited. I mean, right, there was sure. a lot of blame to go around. Jared deserves the blame. He'll admit, Jared, he deserves plenty of the blame as well. But it was so predictable. It was, at times, a high school offense. High school offenses are actually often more creative. They run the spread. But they just... But now they have Sammy Watkins. They have answers now. They rebuild at least half of the offensive line. And look, they're not going to score 46 every week, and they're not going to face a challenged NFL quarterback like Scott Tolzien and a team that really is not that good in the Colts every week.
Right.
Okay, it's not always going to be like this.
But are they going to be, what do you think the record's going to be?
They're going to be significantly better. I'm not going to predict records.
Plus,
huh?
Hot coach.
Oh, you like him.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Hot coach?
Yeah, 31. Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Right.
How's it going? Never make that noise. Never.
Giddy up. No.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Andrew Siciliano is here. We will take a quick break and come back. Andrew Siciliano is in the studio, host of NFL Network's Up to the Minute and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Andrew, occasionally you'll get a fact wrong.
Oh, yeah.
How does that go for you?
Mm. Well, it depends what the fact is. Like, if on a Sunday I say somebody had 299 or 301 yards passing, uh-huh. which means your fantasy team gets a bonus.
Right.
In your little fantasy world. and they really had 299, then people get angry at me because they think their fantasy stats are screwed up, that kind of stuff.
That's crazy.
Yesterday I misidentified a player, which is not the end of the world. I'll probably do that two or three times a game. Like for example, yesterday, the Jets had two number 18s on their roster.
Right.
And I couldn't figure out which 18 it was because we couldn't see the back of the jersey. And we just had fun with it because the Jets are such a mess.
How do they do that? What's the how?
Well, it's training camp stuff and numbers had been changed and it was week one and maybe we didn't have the right paperwork and whatever.
Okay.
And we had fun with it because, I mean, you do need a scorecard and a roster when you're watching the Jets. They've had that much turnover.
Right.
They're introducing themselves to each other in the huddle. Hi, I just got here. Who are you?
Wow.
And what are we running? Okay. So that was fun yesterday. But the big one was, so Mike Mitchell of the Steelers,
yes.
who wears number 23,
mm-hmm.
is viewed by many as a dirty player.
Okay.
I've had multiple players on other teams say, psst, he's dirty. And he has the track record with fines and other stuff to back that up.
Right.
So I look up and I see what I thought was Mike Mitchell. I got my numbers mixed up. It is week one. Blow up Ricardo Lewis of the Browns on the sideline. Hit high. It was an illegal hit. He got flagged.
Oh, so you blamed it on the wrong guy.
And so I said, hey, want to go to Cleveland? Browns just got a first down. Let's show this. And I said in the transition, Mike Mitchell is known as a dirty player.
Ah.
And here he does it again. Oops. This is 15 yards. Bam, Ricardo Lewis is going into the medical tent to be checked for a concussion.
Okay, that seems like more of a, that's a bigger mistake than 299 yards versus 301
correct.
Yards.
All the facts were right there.
Right.
Except it wasn't Mike Mitchell.
Well, I mean, that's so, when you say all the facts.
With one, there's one fact wrong.
And it's the biggest one.
And that's on me. It was William Gay.
Okay.
Now, as soon as we cut my mic and they, you know, we stand back and Greg Gumbel's doing the talking now on CBS, you know, people are waving their arms. We got, like, it's William Gay. Oops.
Wrong guy.
So I immediately go, put my mic on. So put my mic back on and I fell on it. I said, hey, need to apologize. I got that wrong. I owned it. I got that wrong. Misidentified. It wasn't Mike Mitchell. It was William Gay. William Gay flagged for that hit, which was clearly illegal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not Mike Mitchell. My apologies.
So it all went away. That's good news.
I then immediately went to Twitter, wrote the exact same thing.
Right.
Well, the Steeler fans come after me. Obviously, they should. After the game, Mike Mitchell retweeted my apology and wrote, it's not real if you don't at me. Like, you know, at Mike Mitchell.
Right. So in other words, he wanted you.
He wanted
it's not real unless you
include him on the tweet.
Oh, I see.
And so I retweeted him and included him and said, it's real. I apologize. But then he favorited a bunch of people ripping me later or liked
sure.
it. So whatever. I will own it. However, I stand by the fact that he's a dirty player and has been penalized and fined for being that guy.
Yeah.
So you're still right on that. It's my fault.
Still right on that, just wrong on
my fault.
On yesterday's.
I own it.
Now, okay.
Yes, I'm a Browns fan as well, so people like to throw that into it. They
sure.
think I was being unnecessarily mean, and perhaps they're right.
What are the storylines this weekend? Ezekiel Elliott?
So the NFL went back to court this morning. And you know how with most of your fantasy players, you need to find out if they're healthy every week. Are they
right.
going to play every week? With Zeke, and I hate to say this, this may almost be a week in, week out. Will the courts let him play?
Oh, no.
And I know it's only week two, and I know we think it's all behind us. It's not all behind us. There was the thought that once he got this injunction or this, whatever, I forgot my legalese. I'm not a lawyer anymore. That this was just going to go away for months. The NFL went back to court this morning seeking to stop whatever it is that Ezekiel Elliott got on Monday. Like, you want me to read my email from work?
Shh.
Okay, so I don't
not
get
really
this wrong.
Okay.
No.
I want it.
NFL will file appeal on Ezekiel Elliott's preliminary injunction in the U.S. Court of Appeals Fifth Circuit. So in other words, and they want it expedited. So the courts may overturn what Zeke got last Friday and may do it this week.
Okay.
So just when you thought you were out of the woods.
But it might not.
It might not.
Okay.
So in other words, check back on the federal court docket weekly for your Ezekiel Elliott playing status.
That seems difficult.
Awful.
Yeah. Monday Night Football, Saints-Vikings?
We got two games. Saints-Vikings, the first game. The schedule makers know what they're doing, don't they? Adrian Peterson, in his first game in a uniform other than that of the Vikings, in Minnesota.
In Minnesota,
building.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is the marquee matchup, all due respect to the Chargers. I think if there's one week you play Adrian Peterson in fantasy, even though it's against that defense, it's this week because I do think Sean Payton has a soft spot in his heart for his guy. He is not really the starter. Mark Ingram is the starter with the Saints.
Right.
I think they're going to feed him. I think this is a good game. I think Drew Brees still puts up a lot of yardage even against that defense. But I think this could be a track meet because the Saints can't stop anybody. And then the Chargers are in Denver against the Broncos. Denver's got a great defense, always a great defense at home as well.
A lot of people are picking the Chargers to surprise people.
So this is the one. You know how certain teams are an enigma? Like the Bengals, to me, were an enigma.
Okay.
And they got steamrolled yesterday. People ask me, what do you think of the Redskins this year? I go, I honestly don't know. I think they were the they got the short end of a bad call yesterday at the end of the game, but I have no idea what to think of the Redskins. I have no idea what to think of the Chargers. Everyone thinks that because they have a new head coach and because they're healthy again, that, yay, and they're here, they're going to win again. I know they've drafted well the last couple of years, but they're still a team that's not won a lot of games. Matter of fact, not only have they not won a lot of games, the last couple of years they have found shockingly new and creative ways to lose games. Now, with a new head
coach...
Which is a Raider thing until this past year.
Right.
Now, with a new head coach... Coach, does that all change? I hope so for their sake.
Yeah, maybe.
And this is a tough test tonight. But honest to goodness, I cannot. I am going to punt on the Chargers. I cannot.
Can't get a read. Okay.
Them out. Huh. So far, I don't know.
Is their new coach hot?
He's an attractive man.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a former player.
Good. I like having hot coaches now in L.A.
Awkward right there.
I saw it, and I felt it.
Do you need me to give the hot O meter on all 32?
Wouldn't mind. Belichick.
You have a hot
I don't know that Bill... I wouldn't call Bill Belichick an attractive man.
I don't know. Some hoodies.
Keep going.
Well...
You go for the hoodie look. Okay.
Harbaugh.
Which
hot.
One? Oh, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people say that. Yeah. Nice guy, too. Not as crazy as his brother.
Wait. No. John,
in Baltimore.
Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not as crazy as his brother.
No, I don't like his brother.
He's crazy.
He's a watch up. He's, yeah. Nice khakis.
Uh-huh. What else?
No, I think I'm good.
This feels awkward.
All right, so we're
Gase?
Watching.
I love Adam Gase. I mean in a, you know, respectful way.
Sure. So we're watching The Red Zone yesterday, which you're hosting, and my daughter says, is that the guy you know? And I say, yeah. And she says, I might take his job.
How old's your daughter?
I might. She's... old enough.
Just no,
slow
no. I'm just
down.
Trying to. No, I'm just
take
trying to gauge, gauge the level.
Jeez.
I'm trying to gauge the level.
We
of the
see
insult
what you're trying
is,
to gauge.
No,
oh no, no. There's
the insult
an insult
that is inevitably coming.
There's
that,
an insult.
I'm not that guy.
There's an insult that's coming back to me actually.
Okay. Oh,
because
good.
At thank one point I was telling you that if you were to ever not be able to do the Red Zone,
okay,
I'm your backup.
Please come on,
dear. Right?
Yeah.
And we put together a demo.
Okay, let's start the game. The Buffalo Bills. Playing in the Damiano Dolphins, and they're in the red zone. Oh, let's fumble in the touch. It's touchdown. Okay, next game is New England Patriots and the New York Nets. And the New York Jets, field goal, 3-7, touchdown, 7 points for them. Oh, next game we go Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. The fourth down. They're going for it. Fourth down. Going for it. That was the first down. Never mind. First down. Go. Now San Francisco 90-40s. The Seahawks saddle. And it's all tied up. We're going for overtime. No, it's halftime. I'm going now. Carolina Panthers out Atlanta Falcons on a 3-point game. And they score a touchdown! And the Falcons score a touchdown. And now it's 17:09 together. Military time. Washington Redskins, Philadelphia Eagles. Stupid. Stupid, absurd game. I'm even going to look at that game. Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs. And they are, it's our game's all over. They're all on the party bus.
How many beers?
Yeah,
how many
beers? Nailed it.
I think you know.
How many beers?
I'm your guy, I think.
I sensed slurred speech.
A bit.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, what were you listening to?
That's actually Ralph's impression of me, which is pretty dead on, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah.
Unfortunately. Andrew Siciliano, we love you. Thank you for coming in, host of NFL Network's Up to the Minute and DirecTV's Red Zone channel, which you do a great job with.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for always fitting us in. We appreciate it.
Love you more.
It is September 11th, and unfortunately, we do remember that for a bad reason, but once a year, we play a tribute, and here you go from K-Rock.
I think we're going to have to remember September 11th. In its reality, because somehow I think it pushes the human consciousness toward finding ways to avoid this in the future. But if you censor it too much, if you try to find too many euphemisms for what happened, then I think you rob people of the ability to actually relive it, and therefore motivate them to prevent it from happening in the future.
We're back at 8:30 on this Tuesday morning. It's the 11th day of September, the year 2001.
This is a special report. A major incident occurred here.
There has been a plane crash.
I just witnessed a plane hit directly in the middle of one of the World Trade Center towers.
The FBI is now investigating reports of a plane hijacking.
One side of the building, practically all the way to the other.
People are standing in the street in tears. People are panicking and calling their families.
We saw the plane hit the building.
More and more fire and smoke enveloping the very top of the building.
Right then and there, I knew that this was going to be the worst day of my life as a firefighter.
People are jumping out the windows. Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
That looks like a second plane.
Right, oh, there's another one. Another plane just hit. Right? Oh, my God.
That's on purpose. Somebody is doing this on purpose.
It's a horrific scene here. There's debris flying through the air over the East River here in Brooklyn.
Today, we've had a national tragedy. The number of casualties will be more than any of us can bear.
Oh, my goodness. We're looking at a live picture from Washington. And there is smoke pouring out of the Pentagon.
110 stories, the top portion of which is collapsing. Good Lord.
Air traffic is being grounded across the United States. 18 minutes later, oh my God. Oh my God. That was the second tower of the World Trade Center collapsing before our eyes.
United Airlines Flight 93, it crashed in Somerset County, Pennsylvania.
It was a sad day.
Our beautiful nation came of age.
Look at this and you just say to yourself, why? There's no justification for this happening, none.
The images of the replay that never stops of the planes hitting, the towers coming down. And it was like, okay, enough TV.
It did happen, right? It's not something that I'm going to close my eyes and open them again and I'm going to see the tower, right? It's not there.
It's terribly sad here in New York City. It's terribly sad because we've never been through this before. We're told that they were zealots fueled by religious fervor. And if you live to be 1,000 years old, will that make any sense to you? Will that make any goddamn sense?
Families are handing out flyers to the media, hoping for some news on their relatives.
My brother works in the 91st floor, and he's unaccounted for at this time.
They should have been here already. The rig is not back. They're not back. They should have been back.
God and angels up above, send us home, the one we love.
He said, don't panic. My mom is just, I'm going to be okay. Not to worry about it.
She was on the 93rd floor of the 2nd Trade Center. She called everyone to tell everybody that she was okay. And so we haven't heard anything since then. So we just have to find her. We know we will. Pictures on the nightstand. Bob on the hospital. TV's on in the den. Into the missing persons place. Your house is waiting. We haven't heard anything at all. Your house is waiting. We haven't heard anything at all. For you to
walk in. Everyone's desperate for information. For you to walk
in. But you're missing. He has to face reality. And he may not come back. Head of our family is gone. When I shut out the lights, you're missing. I would go up through the morning, saw the plane coming. When I close my eyes, you're missing. But I haven't heard from him since. When I see the sunrise, you're missing. Our lives will never be the same.
This nation is peaceful, but fierce when stirred to anger. Whether we bring our enemies to justice or bring justice to our enemies, justice will be done. I have a message for our military. Be ready. The hour is coming when America will act, and you will make us proud. This nation is freedom's home and freedom's defender. And we owe so much, so much, to the men and women who step forward to protect those freedoms.
Beautiful. Brave men and women, indeed. Heroes prove. Operating there in what continues to be a very dangerous environment. Liberating
strife. We're blessed with extraordinary men and women who risk their lives each day so that each of us can live in peace and freedom. Do more than self. Have country love. They are clearly doing us proud in Afghanistan. And mercy
more than life. An American flag flies outside the childhood home of John Joseph Edmonds in Cheyenne, Wyoming. America! A symbol of the patriotism his family still feels, even after losing the 20-year-old Army specialist in the war against terrorism. Make God thy
gold refine. And for that, all America is grateful.
America, he said, has sent the best of her young men around the world. Nobleness. Not to conquer, but to liberate. Not to terrorize, but to help. I'm so very thankful to you, the men and women who wear our uniform.
To carry the torch passed to you by hundreds of policemen and firefighters who raised our country's flag over the wreckage.
Not just for the peace of mind of our own citizens, but to free people in Afghanistan from one of the most wretched and despised and oppressive regimes anywhere in the world.
Thanks to you, many Afghan women are walking in public again and walking with dignity.
My mother wants me to go to school and become an educated person and get a job someday.
I wish to work, and I decided to work from 5 of morning until 10 of night, because I stayed at home 5 years. I want to make it equal.
We're happy. God is kind, says the old man, busy carving fools again. The true God, they say, the one they have always worshipped. It's a beautiful day.
There's a town in Montana by the name of Shoto, and Montana's been in the middle of a drought for 3 years, and if you got no rain, you can't grow anything, and if you can't grow anything, you can't farm, and that's the way life is in this small town, 1,600 people. Last night at the high school auditorium, they had a rally, and not just a rally for New York City, but a rally to raise money for New York City, and if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about the spirit of the United States, I can't help you. It's a beautiful
day. We see our national character in rescuers. Working past exhaustion, in long lines of blood donors, in thousands of citizens who have asked to work and serve in any way possible.
The more disaster they handle, every generation's gone through it.
Even though this is a horrific tragedy, this is New York's finest hour.
To me, it shows the greatness of America that people who are perceived as common people can perform such uncommon acts of valor.
Even after the towers fell, literally hundreds of firemen went right back in.
Their loved one had let 2 elevators go because he was older. And people in the elevator were younger.
Every day, homeless strangers were showing up with supplies.
Somebody said that if you could still use towels.
People who faced death and in their last moments called home to say, be brave.
and I love you. Passengers who defied their murderers and prevented the murder of others on the ground. Rescuers, the ones whom death found, running up the stairs and into the fires to help others. A beloved priest died giving the last rites to a firefighter.
The American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, and the United Way.
Never know of all the heroes. The person who calmed someone and got them out of the building. The person who organized their floor so that everybody could evacuate.
Workers finding a disabled stranger carried her down 68 floors to safety. A group of men drove through the night from Dallas to Washington to bring skin grafts for burn victims. For those of us who lived through these events, the only marker we'll ever need is the tick of a clock at the 46th minute of the 8th hour of the 11th day. We remember where we were and how we felt. We remember the dead and what we owe them. We remember what we lost and what we found. Grief and tragedy and hatred are only for a time. Goodness, remembrance, and love have no end. No end.
It's KROQ. The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55. Ralph Garman is here for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Is she guest vocalist on that Imagine Dragons song? The
she could be.
And the lightning, the thunder, the thunder. No one gets me, man.
Well, we get you.
Hey, boys and girls, children of all ages, as long as you're 18 or up, I'm inviting you to come see me and my bestest buddy and Babble brother, Mr. Kevin Smith, as we're going to take the stage at the Improv in Brea, California this weekend. Sunday night, 7 p.m., it's Hollywood Babylon returning to Southern California for the first time in like a month. We're desperate to talk to you, so come out and play with us, won't you?
It's the Improv in
Brea. It's very simple. You go to improv.com, you click on locations, you click on Brea, and then the rest is so easy. See you Sunday night. We'll be talking about It, of course, because it's the monster, no pun intended, movie of the nation. They thought it was going to win the weekend. They thought it would pull in $75, $80 million if it reached their wildest expectations.
Now, that's a hugely, overly successful opening weekend.
Yeah. Well, pshaw. $123.1 million when it all came together. That's record-shattering. It is the largest opening weekend for a horror movie in history. So if you're wondering if there will be an It 2, wonder no more. Because we still have to see the Loser Club all growed up, taking on It once again 27 years later. And we'll see that for sure now, thanks to the debut of that number one film. Number two, Home Again, debuted with $9 million. And Home Again, that's Macaulay Culkin, right? And he's trying to keep the guys from robbing his house. Like, no! He slaps his face.
Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon's Home Alone, and they try to rob her house?
No, it's a rom-com.
Why is it Home Again, then? It's a sequel, right?
It's not. It's an original.
Ugh, talk about a horror movie. Reese Witherspoon dating her. Can you imagine?
I don't understand where this comes
right?
from with you.
Exactly, Allie. I think we're on the same page
here. I don't
here.
Think we are. Yep. I'm asking where your hatred of Reese comes from.
Yep.
Get
she's
it.
Down in the sewer, and she's handing out balloons
that's
and everything.
That's actually Pennywise.
She took my boat once.
Buried it. What?
Hitman's Bodyguard was third. Annabelle Creation, Wind River at number five. Leap was sixth. Spider-Man Homecoming, Dunkirk, Logan Lucky, and the Emoji Movie round out your top 10 movies at the box office. Speaking of Irish songstresses, as we were earlier with the Cranberries, Sinead O'Connor. Someone help this woman, please.
She needs serious help, I think.
She has, I told you last week, she's done an interview with Dr. Phil that airs tomorrow. She sits down with Dr. Phil for help. And really, why don't you go to a real doctor if you need help? Don't go to Dr. Phil.
He's not actually a doctor anymore.
I don't think he ever was. Anyway, Sinead was asked about her mother who has passed on, and Dr. Phil asks her what she loved most about her mother. Here's what she says in the interview that airs again tomorrow. What I love most about my mother is that she's dead.
Oh, man.
Yeah. She says that her mother was a person who took delight in hurting her, and she referred to her home as a torture chamber.
Oh, my goodness.
So maybe we know where some of her issues come from in terms of what's going on.
How did she find her way to Dr. Phil, though, for God's sake?
Isn't there no one else?
Yes.
Come on, Dr. Phil. You know it. You're a charlatan. You're a fraud. You're a bunch of hooey. There, I said it. I meant it. You're to represent it.
You have made bad choices.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. I'll be sitting down with my interview with Dr. Phil next week.
F you, you effing bitch.
That's not any kind of way to talk to Ralph.
I'm not surprised at that response. Today's celebrity birthday is Tyler Hoechlin's 29 years old today. Superman, of course, on Supergirl and also from Teen Wolf. Taraji P. Henson, you know her from Empire. She's 46 years old. Ludacris is 39. Harry Connick Jr. is 49. Moby's 51. And from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Gemma Simmons.
Easy for you to say.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Henstridge is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is a pick a ticket all week long here on K-Rock. Patrick Burrows from Santa Clarita just picked Imagine Dragons. One of the bands you can pick at the Hollywood Bowl. Kings of Leon at the Hollywood Bowl. Arcade Fire you can see at the Forum. And the Killers at Staples Center.
Yes.
Let me guess. You're going to be at that one?
Yes.
Your chance to win is coming up on the world famous K-Rock. It is 921. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 937. Ralph Garman has stepped in for a last look at our showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
It's a Monday morning. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No surprise, the Stephen King thriller It was number one at the box office over the weekend. The big surprise, however, is just how much money it made at number one. A lot of people were speculating if it had a really great opening weekend, it could make $75, maybe $80 million. No one, however, saw $123 million coming. That makes it the highest grossing opening for a horror movie ever.
It's amazing.
And it was really the only movie people went to see. If you look at number two, Home Again, the new Reese Witherspoon horror film where she dates a guy and makes his life a living hell.
Again, it's a rom-com.
Just made $9 million. That's what number two made in its debut. So significant drop-off after the $124 million that it made. Hitman's Bodyguard was third, Annabelle Creation, and Wind River. Those are the top five films in the box office top ten. Leap, Spider-Man Homecoming, Dunkirk, Logan Lucky, and The Emoji Movie. Rounding out the bottom half of that list. Will and Grace is returning to television.
Yeah.
Looks like
tell me.
A lot of its most popular guest stars are also lining up to return to that show. Bobby Cannavale has announced he will be coming back as Will's cop ex-boyfriend, Vince.
Am I bad that I never watched that?
Yes, because it's hysterically funny and groundbreaking.
Ralph?
I can hear you, Ralph.
Can I get a second opinion, please?
It was fine.
Okay.
It was hysterical.
It was fine.
Can't wait.
It was
28. I've been counting down.
So you give it a 6, Ralph?
Oh, come on.
In terms of television sitcoms, yeah, it was a 6 or 7.
Definite 10. Yeah.
Come on, 10.
Come on.
Listen.
If Seinfeld is a 10, you're telling me it's right up there?
It's near
if
it.
Veep is
I will say this.
If Veep is a 10.
I'd give it a 9.
Okay.
Oh,
I would say Karen and Jack are two of the best characters ever on television.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Note to self, don't ask Allie about comedies.
She's got a weak spot for this one.
I do love it.
So anyway, yes, he'll be back. And so that made Allie happy and other people of her ilk.
Thank you, Ralph.
You're welcome. You know what made me happy and people of my ilk? Look what's coming back to TV. Greatest American Hero, bitches! What? Ring, ring. Siren.
All right, am I a bad person for not having seen that?
Yes.
Oh, back in the day?
Yeah. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free.
I strangely knew that song.
See?
So good.
Well, this song actually was a smash hit song, a number two song in the Billboard 100.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
When the series came out. But ABC, it looks like they could be rebooting the superhero series, which ran in the early 80s, about a mild-mannered teacher named Ralph. Boom!
No wonder.
Who was given a super suit by a bunch of aliens that gave him superhuman abilities, but he lost the instructions. Bwah, bwah, bwah.
That's what it's about.
So he didn't really know how to control his powers, which made it hilarious. Didn't it? He'd be flying like, whoa, all the time. It's awesome. And he took his instructions from an FBI agent played by Robert Culp, and he had a beautiful girlfriend played by Connie Selica. Oh, Connie Selica. Oh, my God, Connie Selica.
All right, take it easy.
Just saying. Apparently, the reboot is going to be a female greatest American hero.
All right. Depends on who it is.
The character, apparently, was his character named Meera. She is a 30-year-old Indian-American woman from Cleveland, whose talents include tequila drinking and karaoke, but not much else. She's going to have a hard time with that suit. She's going to be able to drink a tequila. Flying crazy. Oh.
Sounds wacky.
It's going to be wacky. And it will be one of the greatest characters on television. Allie's structure. If Jack and Karen were
it, come on. That whole show, okay. Just okay. It's groundbreaking.
It's okay.
Just give us an 8. Just admit that
I can't.
9.5. And Noel Gallagher is a pretty good dude. Headlined the Manchester Arena for the first concert since that deadly terrorist attack after the Ara Grande show back in May. Happened over the weekend. He and his band, the High Flying Birds, of course, did the Oasis hit Don't Look Back in Anger, which has sort of become a theme song for that city, his hometown. Noel said, it's become some kind of anthem of defiance, and every time we sing it, we win. So keep on singing. And witnesses say he teared up on stage when the crowd started singing the chorus back to him.
Hmm.
So it was an emotional evening for everybody involved there in Manchester.
I know that was a super emotional time, but the Gallagher brothers don't really strike me as emotional.
They strike me as very emotional.
Too emotional?
Yes. Too emotional.
That's true. They wear their emotions right there on their sleeve.
You want another run at that?
Yeah, it's just, they're emotional, those guys.
This struck me as very emotional, I meant to say. You know what I meant to say. Kevin's new fallback defense. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tyler Hoechlin is 29 years old today. Taraji P. Henson turns 46. Ludacris is 39 years old. Harry Connick Jr. turns 49. Moby, he's 51. I got him some presents.
What'd you get him?
I got him 2 turntables and a microphone.
Stupid. Why'd you say, what did you get him?
I knew he had a corny punchline.
Got him 3 presents.
Did you think Ralph was not going to get that in? You think there was something I could have said that would have stopped it?
And Gemma Simmons from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., half of Fitz Simmons on that show. The lovely and talented Elizabeth Henstridge celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial. We all win.
What do we do?
We all win. We win with a commercial-free drive home.
You know what I meant to say.
Right. Starting today at 5 on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Comedian Ari Shaffir joins us in studio. We've got the Bachelor in Paradise report with Ralph and
Petra. The finale!
Oh, no.
It's the finale already?
Yeah, finale tonight.
Wow. More tickets for Prophets of Rage when they come to the HD Radio Sound Space in this building. Very excited about that. And your tickets to USC as well tomorrow morning.